Question from Sudhanshu Behera. My question is, what is the position of a grihastha in ISKCON? I am practicing Krishna consciousness for last 3 years. I have seen grihastha devotees are often looked down upon in most of the brahmachari classes. There is only blaspheming of grihastha ashram. Is it proper way to take to brahmachari ashram only because other ashram is bad? Obviously those brahmacharis will have a hatred while dealing with grihasthas. It is not good for our society. Also, there is some stigma due to which grihastha is not able to open their heart freely. There are deeper philosophy why to become a brahmachari, not blaspheming grihasthas. I am witnessing this in lots of brahmachari classes. I want to become one, but not by criticizing other ashrams. Answer. If there is any criticism of grihasthas by brahmacharis, that is because of a very narrow understanding of the current social situation and the scope of the scriptures. First and foremost is that we have to have a spiritual vision where we see people not according to their ashrams first, but we see them first as souls, as parts of Krishna. And if they are now commencing their journey towards Krishna, then they are all devotees. And every devotee, Krishna describes in 7.3 in the Bhagavad Gita, Manushyanam Sahasreshu, is one not just among thousands, but among millions. So every devotee, irrespective of the ashram, deserves our greatest respect. Of course, within devotees there are levels, and there has to be respect accordingly, but still, the fact that somebody is practicing devotional service is itself extraordinary and worthy of respect. So, and that's the first point. Every devotee deserves respect. So certainly grihasthas also deserve respect, not just as souls who are parts of Krishna, but souls who have now actively commenced that journey towards Krishna and have become devotees who are so rare in the world. Now, as far as the criticism of grihastha ashram is concerned, that is a misapplication of the message given in the scriptures. Now the scriptures, especially the Bhagavatam, does talk about the attachment in household life. But that attachment is condemned, not the grihasthas themselves. And we have to understand that within the Krishna consciousness movement, both the brahmacharis and grihasthas play a very important and complementary role in sharing Krishna's message and mission with the world. Because if people, the broader society is to become spiritualized, it is going to happen only when people become the majority of the people, if they are to become spiritualized, if they are to become devotees, they will become grihasthas. So if the grihasthas in our movement do not feel happy, do not feel respected, do not feel a sense of belonging to Krishna and to Krishna's movement, then how will they become examples for others to emulate? So the broader reach of our movement depends primarily on exemplary and happy grihasthas. And for that purpose, whatever is required for giving them a sense of belonging is essential. So first I talk from the point of view of the grihasthas themselves. Second, I'm talking from the point of reaching out to other people in general. This is the contribution of the grihasthas. They are the primary examples that will inspire people. And as far as the brahmacharis are concerned, or the renounced order, they are generally playing the role of the teachers. And they study and teach the philosophy, and by that they help people in general to understand Krishna's message and to apply that message. So generally the brahmacharis play a role as teachers, and the grihasthas play a role as examples. Of course, the teachers also have to be exemplary in their enunciation, and the grihastha examples also have to know some basic philosophy. So it is not a watertight division, but it is a broad complementary role that is played within the Krishna consciousness movement. Now, if somebody has a negative estimation of grihastha ashram and because of that somebody becomes a brahmachari, such a person will not be able to have a healthy attitude either towards grihasthas or even towards one's own practice of brahmachari life. Why, if somebody wants to become a brahmachari, what should be the motivation? The primary motivation should be the desire to serve Krishna wholeheartedly and undistractedly. So, even grihasthas can become serious and committed devotees. But in brahmachari life, there are three distractions which are substantially reduced, if not entirely eliminated. Now that the first is the anxiety for money and monetary arrangements. Second is the numerous social obligations that come from relatives, acquaintances, colleagues, marriage, birthdays, anniversaries and things like that, which take a huge amount of time. And third is the constant opportunity, ever-present opportunity for temptation and indulgence. So, because these three distractions, financial, sociological and psychological, are not present in brahmachari life, that's why brahmachari life offers a facility for undistracted practice of devotional service. So, in order to focus and practice undistractedly, one should take a brahmachari life, and so that one can contribute to Krishna's mission more and more. And how should be the attitude towards grihasthas? One has to respect them as devotees, as I mentioned in the beginning of the class. And we cannot, if this is happening, if some brahmacharis are doing this sort of criticism of grihasthas, then there has to be some sort of education and arrangement for them. Obviously, grihasthas may not be in a position to give that sort of education. So then maybe some senior brahmacharis or some very senior grihasthas or maybe the spiritual master can provide that kind of education. And if that doesn't happen, then grihasthas also need to apply the basic principle of devotional service, that is anukulyasya sankalpa and pratikulyasya varjanam. That we should accept that which is favorable and reject that which is unfavorable. So, if we come in the association of certain devotees who make us feel scorned, who look down upon us, who belittle us just because of the ashram that we are present in, then we can avoid the association of those devotees and then find out the association of those devotees that will encourage and inspire us. Srila Prabhupada's purports often talk about grihastha ashram in quite a critical way. But if we look at Srila Prabhupada's life in terms of how he dealt with grihastha devotees, he always encouraged them. And there is the philosophical aspect and there is the human aspect in the dealing. So we need to always, wherever we are practicing devotional service, whichever ashram, we need to find out that association which encourages us, inspires us, gives us a sense of belonging and satisfaction, and use that association as an inspiration for continuing on devotional service. And if grihasthas are not able to open their hearts freely, again the same point, they have to find out an association which that is inspiring, which is like-minded, which enables them to open their hearts and accordingly continue on in one's devotional service. We have to know that not all devotees are at the same level of spiritual advancement, and all of us have an individual relationship with Krishna and we have to pursue it as our responsibility. If we find the association of devotees around us not inspiring, we cannot use that as an excuse for not practicing Krishna consciousness. We have to take the initiative to find out some other association that inspires us. And as in our sadhaka stage, the principles, yena kena prakarena mana Krishna niveshet. Somehow or the other, fix the mind on Krishna. So that also means, wherever we get the association that inspires us, we take that association and continue on in our devotional service with inspiration and guidance. Thank you.